Hello and thank you for listening to the show today. This is the Foot Health Show on UK Health Radio, brought to you by myself, Peter Alton of Circle Podiatry. So let us invite you to relax, sit back and put your feet up and enjoy learning about the one part of your body that often gets forgotten. That's right, it's your feet. Welcome back again. This is the Foot Health Show on UK Health Radio, your real feel-good radio station. Thank you so much for joining us again this week. Hope you've had a fantastic one. Hope you've been using those feet. Hope you've been dancing, walking, running, playing other sports, whatever you might have been using your feet for. Be grateful that you have the use of them. Maybe you're reflecting on how much you used them in your youth and you are now elderly and not able to use them as much. Be thankful that you are able to still get out to the corner shop, that you're still able to do some of the things which some people are not able to. The point is that we need to look after our feet throughout our lives. Whatever age we're at, there are things we can do to benefit our feet. There are things we can do to make them more comfortable, to make them last longer, to make them fit for purpose for whatever duty, job, activity that we are trying to do. And I came across a survey, actually, which I'd forgotten about, which was done back in 2014 by the College of Podiatry, then called the Society of Chiropodists and Podiatrists. And it was done to promote Foot Health Month that year. By the way, Foot Health Month happens every year. Actually, it's just changed. It used to be June. I believe it's now April. It can be a great time to actually, for the profession, to get out there and do a little bit of awareness raising. Obviously, we want to try and do it all year round. That's why I'm doing this show. But it's good to have an awareness week. So, going back to this one in 2014, it was entitled Bigfoot Nation. And the reason was because in doing the survey, they found that British feet are getting bigger and wider, with apparently an increase in two shoe sizes on average since 1970. It's been put down to, or linked to, should I say, increasing weight and height. So it sounds like we probably are getting a bit bigger from the point of view of height, but also we know that many of us are getting quite a bit bigger in the weight department, and that can lead to swelling. It can lead to just literally more flesh in the foot, but it can also lead to pressure causing the foot to collapse, causing it to spread out more. Apparently, in the survey as well, both men and women admit to wearing incorrectly fitting shoes which are too small and narrow, and that, of course, risks problems both for the short term with blisters and calluses, but also for the long term as well. So let's have a quick look at some of the statistics in a little bit more detail. Over a quarter of men and 41% of women say their feet have changed. 48% of men say their feet have got longer, and 61% say they're wider. 35% of women report their feet have got bigger, and 68% say they've got wider. Now, how many of us have ever bought a pair of shoes knowingly that were not quite the right fit, but we loved the style, we loved the look, we needed it desperately for that wedding or that party that we were going to go to? I'm guessing that probably the ladies are a little bit more guilty of this, but you know, actually, I have to confess I was as well. During my student years, there was a pair of, they were Dr. Martin soles, but they were actually suede, fairly pointed with a buckle, and I loved them. in the shop. I cursed them ever afterwards, though, because they were too pointed and they were not what a podiatry student should really have been wearing. But yeah, you can quite often you can succumb to the pleasure you're getting from looking at those shoes when you buy them and they're not actually fit for purpose. And generally, the older you get, the wiser you get, the more sensible you get with your footwear. But I'm going to try and encourage you to try to make sure you do get the right size. So in this survey, 34% of men and 46% of women admitted to buying shoes that didn't fit. And when they say it didn't fit, nearly twice as many were likely to buy them too small than they were too big. Now, that's quite a classic thing, especially ladies. They tend to not want their feet to look too big. I know I have that struggle with one of my daughters, that she's got quite big feet. She is tall, so it doesn't matter too much. She's going to kill me if she hears me talking about this on there. But anyway, size 8. So, you know, quite a lot of the time, she squeezes them into size 7. And then I have to pick up the pieces, of course, by dealing with her toenails that get squashed and ingrown. Anyway, what are the reasons that you may have bought shoes too big or too small? Well, in the survey, the top reason was, with 35% of them saying it, thought they were buying the correct size, but when they got home and tried them on, they didn't feel comfortable anymore. So that's sort of almost like an accidental buying the wrong size. And it wasn't until they got home that they actually felt it was a little bit too tight or too loose, for that matter. Second reason, with 27%, was that you liked the shoes and they didn't have them in your size. So you knowingly bought the wrong size because you loved them and you wanted them for that special occasion, but they hadn't got your size. You still decided to buy them. Next one was, I bought them online and didn't realize they wouldn't fit. That was 26%. I wonder if that's gone up, because obviously since 2014, online sales will have soared. And it's probably one of the things that we shouldn't be buying too much of online. Actually, I'm just going to interject here a little bit, because I have bought shoes online myself before, but it was a shoe which was the same as one I'd had before, exactly the same. And I couldn't actually find it in the shops. It had been discontinued, but I managed to find it online. And I knew that it was exactly the same as what I'd had before. So I knew I was going to be okay. But I would hesitate to advise anyone to buy a shoe online if they haven't had a chance to try it on beforehand. Obviously, you can nowadays, you've got pretty good consumer rights. You could try it on at home. But the risk is that you're going to put up with it even if it isn't quite right. It's much better to go to the shop, get them tried on, give them a little bit of a walk around in the shop. If you're still not sure but you really want them, then maybe take them home and just walk around the house a little bit before you commit to getting them dirty. Next one. 19% of them said they were on sale. How many of you have bought a pair of shoes because they were on sale? I think there's a lot of people who don't even want a pair of shoes, don't need a pair of shoes, but they were on sale. So it wasn't necessarily the shoe crying out at me, but the fact that it was reduced from £50 to £10, I had to buy them. Did you? Well, that's debatable. And often, when they're in the sale, and I've done this before, you look on the sale rack, maybe in Clark's, you look on the sale rack, shouldn't just mention Clark's, should I, any of the other foot shoe companies, Office or whatever it might be. You go in there, you see the sale rack, and you choose the pair of shoes that's staring at you saying, I want you. And somebody's put them back in the wrong place. So in actual fact, although you're looking at the sale rack for size 11, in my case, and somebody's put a size 10 in the size 11 rack. And then when you go to ask if they've got a size 11, they haven't. But because you've seen that shoe that you really like, you're tempted. Yes, you try it on. It might be a little bit tight. Feels a little bit tight. Oh, but you still buy it because you think you'll be okay. Or maybe it's the other way around. Maybe it's slightly bigger than what you were expecting. And the last reason that people end up with shoes the wrong size is didn't have time to try them on in the shops. So you see the shoe there, you think, well, I'm a size 11, I'll go and buy it anyway. You get the size 11. But as many of you will have experienced in the past, a size 11 by one manufacturer could be very different to a size 11 by another one. So it is always wise to get the shoes fitted, to try them on. And we're going to talk later in the show about some tips that I have for doing just that, for making sure that you do get a good fit. We're going to take a quick break from the show now, so please don't go away. It's just time for our station sponsors to share a message about their product. Please hang on, and we'll be back in just a minute to continue the show.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
The station that makes you feel good.
That was an ad from our station sponsors. You're listening to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. So let's get on with the show again. Back to our interview. The survey also asked people what they found difficult about buying footwear, and 20% said they struggle to find shoes that are wide enough. There wasn't a male-female split on this one, but I'm guessing it probably would have been more ladies who were having a trouble with finding them wide enough, because ladies' shoes tend to, in my experience, forget they've got five toes. Anyway, 51% found it was difficult to find comfortable shoes which were also fashionable. And I suppose that is because the fashion generally is to have a bit of a pointed toe. And as I just mentioned, toes generally aren't pointed. So you're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole or a square foot into a pointed shoe. The research also suggests that people may not even know what size they should be wearing. Now, this, as I said earlier, is a bit of a misnomer, really, because you shouldn't really go around saying, oh, I'm a size 11, I'm a size 10, or whatever it is, because it will differ with different manufacturers. But it is good to have an idea of what size you are. And another thing that people didn't realize is that you can actually buy shoes from many manufacturers where there is a different width fitting, so you can get different width fittings. Certainly this is important with children, of course, and Clarks and some of the other manufacturers do different width fittings, which is so important for the growing foot, because the growing foot, of course, you as an adult listening, I've got 26 bones in each foot, but a child starts off with very cartilaginous bones, which haven't really formed into bone properly. So if you did an x-ray of a baby's foot, you'd only have a certain number of bits of bone and lots of cartilage. And then as the child grows, you get more and more little bits of bone developing. So it actually looks on an x-ray as if you've got more than 26 bones. And then all these bits of bone fuse together to form the final 26 bones by the time you're 18. So during that time up to there, the feet are very prone to being damaged, deformed if they're squeezed into shoes when they're not actually hard enough. The bones aren't really firm enough yet, strong enough. Okay, so let's have a look back at this survey again. Men and women, the problems that they experience, the top complaints that people were suffering from on a daily basis or very often. For men, it was hard skin was the top one. For women, it was also hard skin, but a greater proportion of them saying it. For men, sore and aching feet was next. And for women, sore and aching feet as well. But more women were saying that they had sore, aching feet. Next one for men was tight calf muscles, with 16% saying that. Whereas women, it was bunions and blisters that were causing the problem, with a split of 15% each. Next was for men, corns and blisters, with 13% each. While the women, that's where the tight calf muscles came in, with 14%. And final one was calluses. So I'm guessing that people didn't really understand some of the terminology there, because hard skin and calluses is interchangeable, really. Yeah, not quite sure about that part of the survey. But anyway, on the whole, that survey was quite eye-opening. And I think hopefully it will be an eye-opener for you as a listener to take seriously your shoe shopping in the future. To not go on a whim of, oh, there's something in the sale, or, oh, I need something that's that specific fashion, whatever it's going to do to my feet. Hopefully, as the show goes on, you'll learn a little bit more about buying the right size shoe and about how to look after your shoes as well to get the most from them. Before we do that, though, we're going to have a song. We're going to listen to a song. Hopefully, you will enjoy it. It's by Jimmy Nail, and it is, of course, Crocodile Shoes. Enjoy the song. Kids, how I miss my wife. That was Jimmy Nail and Crocodile Shoes. You are listening to the Foot Health Show here with Peter Alton on UK Health Radio, your real feel-good radio station. Thank you for staying with us. Thank you for joining us. If you joined us during that song, we're going to be talking today about footwear. And it's an advice system that I have in place, which I call the SAS. So that's not the Special Armed Services, but in this case, it is the Suitable and Safe Footwear. So SAS Footwear. And each of those letters is going to stand for a particular aspect of making sure you've got the right shoes on your feet. So S stands for size, A stands for age, and the other S stands for suitability. So we're going to kick off, first of all, with size. And I'm just going to be giving you some advice on what I've experienced over my 30-odd years of how best. And it's not all been through training. Some of it's been actually through experience. Experience of having children, seven, including my stepchildren. So it's been quite an eye-opener at times where you realize, you know what, actually, some of this is common sense, but some of it, well, as the saying goes, there ain't necessarily that much common sense around sometimes. And I think the survey which I shared earlier in the show from 2014 from the College of Podiatry, that survey there shows that there are so many mistakes that people make around buying shoes that there is definitely a need for this SAS guide that I'm going to share. So we're going to kick off, first of all, with size. Now, what do I mean by size? Well, obviously, we want it to be the correct size, but there's different aspects to look at. Most people, when they buy a shoe, think of the length of the shoe. You know, they think I'm a size 8, I'm a size 4, I'm a size 10, whatever it might be, and they think of the length of that shoe. There's not usually much thought given to the width. Sometimes later in life, yes, there is some thought given to the width because the person's got so many problems that they realize that actually width is important. And sometimes the other end of life, children's feet, quite often some of the children's manufacturers will make different width fittings because, again, it is so important, as I mentioned earlier on, with the bones being softer at that age. So width is important, length is important, and another very forgotten aspect is the depth of the shoe. And I'm talking about the depth particularly of the toe box, which is so important. There are many problems that we see which can become about because of the shoe toe box not being deep enough. It could be something as simple as a corn on the top. It can be pressure on a nail causing bleeding under the nail. It can be pressure causing lines across the nail. It can even be pressure from the toe box that ends up with the bone itself changing. Bone responds to pressure by creating more bone, and you can get a thing called an exostosis on the end of your toe or under the nail, where the bone responds to that extra trauma, the pressure from the shoe toe box, and it just, the bone grows, and then you've got to get the pressure off it to get comfortable again, sometimes an operation. So length, width, and depth. Now the other problem we have is that our feet change both daily and over the years. So with kids, of course, you know that they're going to be changing, they're going to be growing. You expect that. But with adults, often people don't realize that your feet are going to change. One of the most common things is that the arches start to drop. You hear people getting fallen arches. Well, quite often, as years go by, the foot does tend to spread. The foot does tend to roll in at the ankle. The ligaments don't hold it quite so well. And in doing so, as a foot rolls in, you'll see it elongating. You can do it yourself. If you stand in front of a mirror and you literally raise your arches and drop your arches, just watch how your foot changes. And that does actually happen every step you take, of course, as well. You hit the ground and then your foot will elongate as it rolls over. So that is something to bear in mind when you're getting shoes. You need plenty of length there. And what you've had this year may be very different to what you had 5 or 10 years ago. In just the same way as kids' feet often get bigger, adults' ones can do too. The other factor to remember is that the feet can change in the course of a day. So when you wake up in the morning, there's not much swelling going on in the feet unless you've got an actual condition, an inflamed condition. And then by the end of the day, most people, there is a little bit of swelling going on in the feet. So the best time to try on a shoe, generally speaking, is the latter half of the day when you've been on your feet for some time. So that's a tip that I'm going to give you, which is something you'd be wise to take hold of. Now, another mistake that people often make is, and you hear it all the time, you're a size 4, you're a size 8, you're a size 10. In actual fact, on our assessment form, we ask people what size they are. And it's a bit of a trick question, really, because they'll always put down something. Some people do put a variation down. So they might put down, I'm a 6 to a 7 or a 6 to 6.5. And that's because they've realized that different shoes are different sizes, even though they might say the same size on the box or on the shoe itself. The different lasts they use, the different ways that they measure their shoes, it can vary very much from one manufacturer to another, and even from one design to another within the same manufacturer. So I would be cautious about saying you are a size 4 or a size 6 or 8 or 10, whatever you think your size is. Use it as a guidance, yes, but don't be adamant that that is the right one. So you're probably thinking right now, well, he's not being very helpful here, is he? He's telling my feet are going to change size and I shouldn't say that they are a particular size. What I'm saying is when you go into that shoe shop, you get the guide size that you think you are, but you don't make your foot force into it or whatever. You accept the fact that you may, although you might not want to go up a size, you may have to go up a size in that particular shoe because it's what's going to fit you. Don't worry about what the sizes say necessarily. Just make sure you're getting something that is comfortable and correct for you. Now, what is correct for you? Ways to assess the suitability, okay? The size suitability, this is. So, first one, of course, is the one that classically happens where you go into a shoe shop and you put on the pair of shoes. Michael McIntyre does a very, very funny sketch of people trying on shoes. It's well worth looking up. And I found myself afterwards actually doing exactly the same thing. You know, you put your foot in positions and poses you'd never put them in just to see if it is fitting properly. But one thing you can do is to check the toe box. Is there, number one, enough depth, but is there enough room in the end of the toe box? Because a lot of the problems we see as podiatrists come about because of pressure on the toes. And most people go to the big toe, but actually know the shape of your foot. Some people's feet are very different. Somebody will have a longer big toe. Some people have a longer second toe. Some people have a longer second and third toe. And obviously, the shape of the shoe toe box is going to be very, very important. So when you've got your foot in the shoe, get some weight on it and then either you bend over and do it or get somebody else to do it for you and just check, is there a centimeter roughly in front of your longest toe? Because there should be. Because as I said, when your foot starts getting mobile, it will elongate a little bit. As it maybe swells later on, it might get a little bit bigger as well. So make sure there's that little bit of room at the end of the toe box in front of the longest toe that's there. Another method of assessing whether or not the shoe you're about to buy is the right size for you is what I call the visual check. Now, the visual check involves you placing your foot next to the shoe and having a look at it. But what you need to make sure is that your foot is right back against a flat object. So it could be the wall, or you could use the shoebox on its side. Just put your foot back so your heel's touching it. Put the shoe next to your foot with the heel of the shoe touching the shoebox, and then have a look at the front end of the shoe. How much bigger or smaller than your foot is it? Remember that you have to take into account if the outer sole of the shoe is a lot bigger than the inner sole, then you need to take that into account. You know, some shoes have quite a ledge around them. Obviously, that is not part of the size of the shoe. We want to know what the internal size of the shoe is. What I have seen people do sometimes is literally to draw around the shoe on a piece of paper or card, and then subtract the outer sole bit by just drawing within that outline, drawing within where you estimate the inside of the shoe to be, and then put your foot on top of it and have a look at when your foot is on top of it, how much wider than the drawing is your foot. And you will be fairly surprised, I think. A lot of people who do this sort of thing find that actually the shoe is quite a lot narrower than their foot. Now, most shoes will be a bit narrower. That's not too much of a problem. There should be a little bit of lateral pressure on the foot. But what you don't want is there to be a huge difference between the width of your foot and the width of the shoe. So that's the visual check. And of course, you are looking at the length and the width there as well. And again, when you've got the foot by the side of it, you can have a look to see just how much higher the shoe is than your foot. But you've got to take into account there the depth of the sole to make sure that you have got enough depth in the toe box.
We're going to take a quick break from the show now, so please don't go away. It's just time for our station sponsors to share a message about their product. Please hang on, and we'll be back in just a minute to continue the show.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living. We've been doing this for over 40 years. Every year, more and more people are living satisfying lives completely cruelty-free. Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
That was an ad from our station sponsors. You're listening to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. So let's get on with the show again. Back to our interview. Now the final one, and this is the one that I probably prefer, actually. This is the one I often talk to people about in clinic. It works for children and it works for adults as well. And that is being prepared. You know, it's always important to be prepared. And of course, there's that famous quote by Alexander Graham Bell, the inventor of the telephone. And he said, before anything else, preparation is the key to success. So for this, you need to be prepared. And what I'm going to suggest you do is the following. You're going to make a template of your foot. Now, the simplest template is just to look at the length. And what you do there, you can get an old breakfast cereal box or a piece of card. ideally, where you're going to stand on it. And you're going to stand on it in a similar way to what I just shared about, with your heel back against a wall or a flat, straight surface. So you've got the piece of card right up to the wall. You've got your heel right up to the wall. And then you're going to draw a little line across the end of your longest toe. You then remove your foot from the bit of card. And you do the same with the other foot, okay? This is really important. You do the same with the other foot. And the reason it's important is because most people have one foot bigger than the other. And what you're going to do is make sure you know which is the biggest foot, of course. You then, when you've drawn the line for the end of each longest toe onto that piece of card, you're then going to cut a strip out about a centimetre to 2 centimetres wide that is as long as that longest foot. So you've now got a strip, a bit like a ruler, which is that sort of width and length of your foot. And then you can use that by putting it into your shoe. If you push it right, it needs to be a fairly firm bit of card, by the way. You push it right to the front of the shoe. And then at the back, you will see a little gap, hopefully, which means that you've got that much room at the front of your shoe beyond your foot. So that gives a good indication of whether or not that shoe is long enough. And you'd be surprised if you do this to some of your shoes. You'd probably be quite surprised how much of a little gap there is when you do that. So that's one tip, making that template. There is another template, of course, because this doesn't actually make any difference to the, or doesn't assess, should I say, the width of your foot. The other way is you can draw around your foot. Now, that's easier said than done. You probably need somebody else to do it for you. You want to make sure that the pen is fairly vertical as it draws around your foot, going around the widest part. So you could, you know, some people might draw around, but they're actually going under, for example, a bunion joint. Well, that's just the width of the bit of a foot that's hitting the ground. The bunion joint can still be considerably wider, but it doesn't actually hit the ground as such. So you still need to make sure that you take into account things like bunion joints. So you've got then an outline of your foot. And again, you'd want to use the biggest one, and you can cut around that outline, and you can actually pop that outline into the shoe and see just how much of a width problem there is there or not. This is probably a little bit much to do in a shop. It might get a bit fed up with you, but you know, you should take buying shoes seriously. You should really be making sure that you are getting something that is fit for purpose for you and that it's the right size. And that is probably the biggest advice you can have, is making sure that your shoes are the correct size for you. My tip as well would be, never buy online unless, number one, you're prepared to do what I've just suggested and give it a try at making sure that it does fit once you've got it. Or, number two, you're buying a second shoe exactly the same as one that you've bought when you've had it before and you know it's good, or you've tried it on in the shop and you know it's good. So it matters whether the shoe is too wide, too short, too long, or too narrow. You want to make sure that it is just right. Now, I'm guessing you're probably getting a bit fed up with my voice here, so we're going to just have a quick song. We're going to listen to David Bowie and Let's Dance. And, of course, there's a line in there where he talks about putting on your red shoes and dancing the night away. So you can do that if you've got red shoes. If you haven't and you're going out to buy some red shoes, make sure you get ones that fit you. So enjoy the amazing David Bowie and Let's Dance.
And dance the blues. Let's dance.
That was David Bowie and Let's Dance. You're listening to UK Health Radio and the Foot Health Show. And we've been looking at the SAS of getting the right footwear. Getting suitable and safe footwear. We've looked at size just before David Bowie. And now we're going to talk a little bit about the A factor, the A of SAS. And that is the age of the shoes. And I'm going to encourage you to go and check all your shoes now. Okay, well, not maybe not now, but after you've listened to this. No, actually, you can pause it probably. So pause it and go and get your shoes and have a check of them. And what we're going to be checking for is various things, because the age of a shoe does matter. Just like the age of your tires on your car matters, so too the age of your shoes matters as well. They have a shelf life. And they might be able to be revamped, just like some tires in the past have been retreaded. You can actually get your shoes, of course, re-healed and resold. But we're going to want to get you to check all your shoes. And what we're looking for are various things. First thing we're looking for is, are the soles too thin? Have the soles become too worn? And you want to check all the way across the sole, the forefoot, to see, because they will wear unevenly. There's going to be a wear in one place more than another, and it might be that it's very, very thin. It's particularly important if you have got diabetes, of course, because the last thing you want is for something to penetrate through, as it did through my daughter's shoe the other week. A bit of glass went through. It can easily happen. Make sure your soles aren't too thin. Next thing is, while you're looking at them, is make sure how unevenly they are worn. Now, most people, when we think about that, they think about the heels, because we all see it on other people's shoes as we walk along. You can see the heels worn down. And while you're having a look at your own shoes, just double check, are they more worn on one shoe than on the other? Because that could be a good indication of there being something wrong with the way your foot's working. Could be that you've got one leg longer than the other. Could be a whole host of things. So double check that for the heels. But also, what people don't think about is looking at the soles. How uneven are the soles? If your tyres of your car are uneven, the garage will tell you that you need to get your car tracked better so that the tyres wear more evenly. And most people will do that because they don't want the expense of worn out tyres too quickly. Well, the same goes with your feet and shoes. The problem is, though, that your feet actually take the brunt of it as well, not just the shoe. So if your shoes are wearing out unevenly, go and see a podiatrist and get checked out for why is that happening. It may be something very simple to fix. It may be something a bit more complex to fix. But be sure it needs fixing. So you're looking at the forefoot, you're checking whether or not there's more wear under the big toe or more wear under the little toe, and that can be indicative of various problems with your foot as well. So we've looked at the sole. Next thing, of course, you need to look at the uppers, and you need to look for dents or bumps on the uppers. Bunions can be pushing through, or hammer toes can be popping up through the upper, or upturned big toes as well can be as well. And if any of these things are happening, then that's a sure sign that that shoe is not going to be suitable for you. The age of it has meant that it's actually been deteriorating over that time. If you've got holes in the uppers, then definitely you don't want them, because that's going to make a, you know, get damp in there, and it's going to be a real perfect environment for infections, etc. Next thing is to look at the inside of the heel counter. Earlier on, I talked a little bit about bone responding to pressure. So I talked about exostosis and bone responding to pressure by creating more bone, particularly under on the big toe, for example. But actually, as well, quite often you get a thing called Haglund's deformity, which is a bony prominence on the back of the outside edge of the heel. And usually if you've got that, you will see on the inside of the shoes that there is quite a lot of wear there on the heel counter, on the outer portion of that heel counter. When I say outer, I mean the if you're looking at your right foot, you'd be looking at the right side of the inside of the heel counter. So we've got a whole host of things we're looking for here that are showing us unusual wear. And if things are too worn, then that shoe is either past its shelf life and it needs to be gotten rid of, or maybe it can be fixed up. So you can get rehealing done. You can get balloon patching done. You can get resoled. You can get stretching done. So the, over a bunion or toe, hammer toe, you can get it restretched. Sometimes there can be bumps on the top of the foot. And sometimes all it takes is relacing the shoes in a slightly different way. Sometimes the way that the laces are put through the holes can make a difference to how tight it is. Sometimes you can miss out a hole just to leave a little bit of space over that bump. So the age of the shoe is really important, and whether it is too old has to be decided upon. And usually you get complications coming when people do hang on to those shoes that they love. And with kids, it's a particular problem because, you know, maybe you've got your, the kids got their favorite Barbie trainers or Spider-Man trainers, and they love them and they hang on to them and they want to keep wearing them, and mummy and daddy give in because it's, you know, it makes the kid happy to wear them. But actually they should have been chucked away a couple of months ago. That can lead to problems. I've had that happen before. So that's something to be aware of, not just for kids, but also for you. Are you still too attached to that favorite pair of shoes? Do they need to be rebuilt, resold, etc.? Or do they need to go in the bin or the recycling? It's something that you need to check with all your shoes. And while you're checking them, of course, make sure there aren't any sharp objects that have gotten into them. So this, I thought, was going to fit into one show, but we have got so much to talk about. It is quite, I don't want to rush it through. And also, I want you to tune in again next week and listen to the rest of it. So we have done the SA of the SAS of feet. We've looked at trying to make them suitable and safe. What we've looked at so far is the size and the age. Next time, we are going to look at suitability of footwear for your feet, and that means the suitability of a footwear for a particular foot for a particular activity as well, and I hope that that will be extremely helpful. So please do tune in again next week and listen to that. We're also going to be talking about care of shoes next week as well. Care of shoes is also important to make sure that they aren't harboring disgusting, horrible diseases within them, funguses and viruses and bacteria, but you want them to be as healthy as possible. So we'll be giving you some tips on caring for your shoes, making sure they're looking their best. That's all going to happen next week. We're going to close out now with a song, which is going to be by Elvis Presley. And what other song could we play? But
well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready now, go cat go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe. Well, you can knock me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place. Well, do anything that you want to do, but not, honey, lay off them shoes. And don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoes. Let's go, cat! Burn my house, steal my car, drink my liquor from an old fruit jar. Well, do anything that you wanna do, but honey, lay off of my shoes. And don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but lay over my blue suede shoe. Rock it! For the money, two for the show, three to get ready now, go, go, go. But don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe. Well, it's blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Yeah! Blue, blue, blue suede shoes, baby. Blue, blue, blue suede shoes. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe.
Well, that's all we've got time for this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Foot Health Show on UK Health Radio. All that remains is for me to say, have a fantastic week. Keep safe, keep those feet and legs moving. And don't forget to tune in again with your friends next week.